It's great to be with you this morning, and I want to echo what Brother Jake said in his prayer, that it is a beautiful day outside and in here as well. Certainly glad to look out and see all of your faces, and I know we've got some listening in the parking lot and some who are listening at home, and we look forward to you being back with us. We love you and we miss you, and we'd be glad to have you back with us in the assembly here. And as was mentioned a few minutes ago, and as was mentioned Wednesday night, Brother Daniel Tucker is going to be coming to work with us, and I am so excited about this. I don't know if this is the right spot or not, but can I say thank you to Jeff and Tommy right now for this hire? You know, some of you may have lived here all your life. I didn't, okay? I moved here my senior year, and when you're not from a place, it takes time to get to know the people and the history and the challenges that they have. Daniel's already from here. Now, I don't know Daniel well, but if I see him out, we would speak. He knows who I am. I know who he is. And he knows so many of you. And can I tell you, that is going to be a huge advantage for us as we start working together, that we already have a familiarity with each other. And hopefully we can use that to jumpstart the work that needs to be done. And all of us need to be motivated to work. And a lot of us are already working hard, and there's probably some more that we can do. But hopefully we can all work together. And so as I was thinking this morning about what to talk about, what would really help us as we're trying to work together, as he's coming in to work with us. And I thought, you know, maybe if we communicated better. Now, you may see these four words on the board here, we need to talk, and some of you are probably trying to go to a safe place, because usually when you hear these words, it's not a conversation you want to be involved in. This is the title of our thoughts this morning, so you can come out of your safe space. I want to have a conversation about the need for conversation. The fact that we need to communicate with each other, the fact that we need to talk, and as we start that conversation, if you're in the third and fourth grade class, you already know these verses. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth didn't have any shape, and it was empty. And now verse 3, look what happens right here. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. I want you to notice, before our universe even came into existence, that communication was possible. That it was possible to speak. And that the universe understood God. And then God, later on in the chapter, verse 26 of Genesis 1, He says, let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness. We also have the ability not only to speak, but to hear and to understand. You know, the evolutionist wants us to believe that we developed from cavemen. We used to just sit around and kind of grunt at each other. Nope. No, that's not the way it was. No, from the time that man was created, God was able to speak with man, and man was able to understand that, wasn't he? Actually, it would be a pretty poor representation on God, a pretty poor reflection on God, if we couldn't understand Him. If He gave us all these commands and we don't know what they mean, right? But we do. We can have communication and conversation and understand these things because we were created that way. Hebrews chapter 1, there, starting in verse 1, God, after He spoke long to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, now verse 2, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the world. He has told us and shown us things in His Word. Right? Now, you may be familiar with terms command and example and inference. Kind of hear those a lot in churches of Christ. In fact, sometimes we get accused, you know, that's kind of y'all's doctrine. Can I suggest to you that that's actually just the foundation of communication? That I can tell somebody something or I can show somebody something and that's how they learn. We have this ability to communicate with each other and God had this ability to communicate with us. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word was God. God has spoken to us through His Son and look what He's called. The Word. The Word. Describing their conversation. So we have this relationship with God based on communication. And yet, all of our relationships are based on communication, aren't they? Isn't that right? Solomon had a lot to say in Proverbs about right and wrong communication. We've just started a study in Proverbs in the college-age class, and if you're that age and not in that class, we'd love to have you in there. I want to give you a few of those Proverbs right now. Proverbs 18 and 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Chapter 25 and verse 11. Like apples of gold and settings of silver is a word spoken at the proper time. The next verse says this. Like an earring of gold and a jewelry piece of fine gold is a wise person who offers rebuke to a listening ear. So we see not all these conversations are comfortable conversations because sometimes rebuke happens. Chapter 15 and verse 1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Chapter 16, verse 24, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, healing to the bones. Got any teenagers in here? Catch this next verse with me, would you? Chapter 18 and verse 6, a fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth invites beating. We started with some introductory material in Proverbs the other day, and we started talking about that we learn from our own experiences, and we learn from the experiences of others. And that's what Solomon's doing with his son. He's trying to pass along some of the things that he's learned. And so we were talking about that, and I asked the class, any of you ever learned anything? Somebody offered, I learned that you don't talk back to my dad. Another young lady said, I remember talking back to my mom one time. It was a Sunday morning. We were in the bathroom, sharing the bathroom, and she said something to me, and I decided this was a good time to be a smart aleck in return. And I took a hairbrush across the mouth. Let me say something to our teenagers. Your parents love you. They want the best for you. They want to see you grow up and be happy and be healthy. But your parents are human too. And if your mouth invites a beating, your parents may RSVP. We understand each other. And they may bring whatever they have in their hand to the party. A fool's mouth invites a beating. When we're talking about conversation and the way we talk to each other, it's important how we talk to each other. How important is communication? What do you think about that Bible reading this morning? What happens when communication breaks down? Relationships end without communication, don't they? We look at that. God does not send an angel to separate all these people building a tower. He doesn't send a famine or a drought. He doesn't send wild animals or plagues. What does He do when He wants them to separate? They stop talking to each other. And that's the end. Everybody goes their separate ways. You know, if we're thinking about as a church how we're going to grow, we've got to communicate with each other. We've got to work together, especially during this transition period when we're going to have somebody new coming in to work with us. We have to work on that. And conversations become difficult, right? You know, at some point in every meaningful, growing, developing relationship, don't you have some hard conversations? You want to see one of those in text? Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and we'll start in verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to point out to His disciples that it was necessary for Him to go to Jerusalem to suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and to be killed, and to be raised up on the third day. Now, Peter doesn't like hearing this. Look what happens here now, verse 22. And yet Peter takes Jesus aside and begins to rebuke Him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. Don't you imagine Peter thinks in his mind he's doing this noble thing? I'm going to take Jesus off to the side. I'm going to straighten Him out. I don't like the things he's saying. Now verse 23, Jesus turns and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You think that's how he pictured that conversation going? He gets him off to the side here. Now,
listen, Jesus, you're kind of upsetting some of the other apostles. I need you to tone this down a little bit. Jesus says, I'm doing God's will. You're not. Ugh. Awkward. I'm sure Peter was ready to get out of this conversation at this. This is a hard thing for him to be in. Right? What is he going to do now? I've heard some difficult things. I've heard some things I don't like hearing. Just not show up anymore? Just going to quit? You know, there are actually people who did that. This is not the only hard conversation Jesus had, obviously. John chapter 6 and verse 26. Jesus has fed a crowd of 5,000 people with some loaves and some fishes. And the next day, verse 26, they come back for more. And Jesus tells them, you guys have no interest in what I'm teaching. You only came back for another fish sandwich. I want to talk to you about the bread of life. And then you get 40 verses talking about that. And in verse 66, it says, as a result of this, many of his disciples left and would no longer walk with him. They didn't like what they heard. It was a difficult conversation. I'm out of here. I don't want any more of that. How are we going to respond when we have a difficult conversation, like when your spouse actually says, we need to talk? If you've been married, you've been involved in one of those before, where you had to sit down at the table or on the edge of the bed, and the spouse says, we need to talk. And it's not about the dinner menu that week. It's going to be something uncomfortable, some things you need to work on, some things you need to change, some things you need to improve. Right? How are we going to react then? What about when your parents want to talk, young people? This may amaze you. Your parents know how to use the internet. They may come across your social media page. And then they may want to sit down and talk to you after seeing some of the things that you say and do. That's not going to be a comfortable conversation. Are we ready for that? What are we going to do in that moment? What if an elder comes to talk to you and says, I have got some concerns I would like to share with you, some things that I'm seeing? We're not going to like hearing that. But what are we going to do with that? We're going to realize they're speaking the truth and love to us? Are we going to be able to grow up in all aspects, as Ephesians 4 says? Are we capable of reflection and growth? Can we do that? Can we talk calmly in return? Because there's a possibility that they don't have all the information, right? Maybe things aren't what they seem to be, and maybe we need to communicate that. John chapter 7 and verse 24, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Get all the information. You know, you think back about Acts 2, and we go to Acts 2 a lot, and usually look at the end of the chapter. At the beginning of the chapter, there verse 4, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They start speaking in all these different languages, and everybody can understand it. But what do some people say, not having all the information? Yeah, they've been drinking. What we're seeing is a bunch of drunk guys. No, that is not what you're seeing at all. You need more information. In fact, this is very relevant information because it leads to your salvation. Maybe we need to listen. Listening is part of communication. Proverbs 18 and verse 13, one who gives an answer before he hears is foolish and a shame to him. It's foolish. Those people in Acts 2 that were saying that was very foolish. They should have listened and got more information before making accusations like that. And sometimes things aren't heard correctly, even when we're talking to each other. Things aren't heard correctly, right? And so maybe we need to make sure we're certain about what was said. I'll show you this in text. Let's go to John 21. Jesus has been raised from the dead, and it has appeared to his apostles. And he's telling them, these are some things to come. And during this conversation, Peter kind of looks around, and here's John. And he asks Jesus, well, what's going to happen to John here? And so now we start in verse 22, and Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? Now you see what he said, but look what they heard. Verse 23, therefore this account went out among the brothers that that disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but only if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? Sometimes we don't hear everything. We need to make sure we've got all the information, all the relevant information before we move forward. And don't fill in gaps with misinformation. You know, sometimes when we don't have information, we kind of tell ourselves a story. You know, I don't know why they did that. Perhaps it's because of this or that. And then we kind of get aggravated about the thing that we told ourselves, don't we? Does that ever happen to you? You fill in those gaps with misinformation? Proverbs 15 and verse 4, a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. You know, it used to be thought that withholding information is the best weapon. Right? So you think about top secret covert operations that nobody knows about, or cloaking or camouflaging signals, or stealth technology. You remember when they came out with that funny shaped plane they called the stealth bomber? And so we're going to keep the enemy from knowing all the relevant information by withholding information. That's the best weapon. It's been thought now that maybe misinformation is a better weapon. Not giving the whole truth. No, I'm not going to talk about the media this morning. But that's what the government is spending millions of dollars of the defense budget trying to promote misinformation. You know, you have an airplane that's coming into attack, and the signal is sent out, radar, satellite, looking for enemy planes approaching. And so that plane takes that signal, changes it around just a little bit, and then sends it back to the source. And so you've got a plane coming in from the east, but the radar says it's coming in from the west because it's got misinformation. So now we're focusing all of our intelligence, and not only that, but our efforts and missiles and bombs and bullets and everything else over here, right? Not paying attention to what's coming right at us. Wasted energy. Thank you for that. Taught in one of our classes recently. Can you see how that would be a problem? How an enemy would use misinformation against us? Can I tell you that that's one of the devil's best weapons? In fact, in John 8 and verse 44, it said, whenever he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of lies. It says there's not even any truth in him. Everything he says is a lie. He uses misinformation to create chaos. Want to see it in text? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to use something very simple this morning. Travel schedule. Does that seem like a big deal to anybody? No, it doesn't, right? And so Paul has told the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 15, that I intend to come across from Ephesus to Corinth to see you. Then I'm going to go up to Macedonia. Then I think I'm going to come down and visit with you again. That's what he intends to do. But his plans change. Right? So you go to Acts 20, and there in verse 1, he leaves Macedonia and goes to Greece. So, he didn't do exactly what he said he was going to do. Does that really seem like a big deal to you? That little bit of misunderstanding, like, is that a problem? Would anybody get mad about that? Have a disagreement about that? Let me tell you, that was a huge problem for the Corinthians. He's insincere. He doesn't really care about us. If he did, he would have visited us twice, just like he said he was going to. Right? He's inconsiderate. Changed plans. Didn't notify any of us. Never mind that he's running for his life. He's inconsiderate. He's unreliable. Now, Paul's got to answer all that, right? So I love how the Living Translation describes this conversation, verse 17. He says, you may be asking why I changed my plan. Do you think I make plans carelessly? Do you think I'm like people of the world who say yes when they really mean no? Paul says, you think I'm fickle? Is that what you think? Now, there were some other critics, and they were saying, no, no, no. That's not why he didn't come. Let me tell you why he really didn't come. Because when he writes a letter to us, it's super impressive. But when he shows up in person, not so much. No wonder he didn't want to visit. It's a lot easier to send a letter and we all think something great of him. And now, Paul's got to clean all that up, right? And so rather than worrying about addressing, sin, things like that, he's got to spend part of this letter addressing his travel plans. You think the devil uses misinformation against me and you? Absolutely. Absolutely. And when we have these hard conversations, we need to make sure we've got all the information. And sometimes, it happens, an accusation is made that is actually right. You know, you go to Acts 6, you have all these people who've come to Jerusalem. And they're hearing the gospel. And it's the first time the gospel has been shared, and a lot of these people don't want to go home. And so they just stay in Jerusalem. People who don't have a lot of money, who can't just stay on an extended vacation, are staying to hear the gospel. And the church is trying to make sure that everybody's needs are taken care of, and we're getting food, and we're trying to make sure everybody's got a place to stay. And now in chapter 6 and verse 1, at this time, as the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint developed on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So here comes this accusation. You know, we're looking out, we're trying to take care of everybody, but this group over here is getting neglected. Y'all realize that? We've neglected this group. And they do a little research and go, you know what? That's right. We need to do something about that. And so they suggest there, verse 3, select from among you 7 men of good reputation. Put them in charge of this task. And then look, verse 5, the announcement found approval with the whole congregation. We just talk about the problem a little bit and come up with a solution. Like, it seems pretty easy, doesn't it? How do I fix this when there's a problem? Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. Now if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. Look at this problem-busting intelligence that's been shared with us here. If there is a problem, Jesus says, go talk to the person. Don't give them the silent treatment, especially if that's your spouse. Don't go to talk to somebody else about it, somebody at work. Sit down and talk to the person. Oh, work it out. And if you're not sure, is somebody upset with you? Is there a problem in your relationship? They've been treating me a little different lately. Proverbs 11:27, he who diligently seeks good seeks favor. You know, we've got some people who are engaged. I want to give you 5 words this morning that have showed up in every successful marriage. We have people in this room who've been married for 50 years or more. I have not asked them. I promise you they have used these 5 words in their marriage. And it's not, I love you so much. Are you mad at me? For those who are engaged, if you get married, at the first sign of trouble, ask your spouse, are you mad at me? Some may have abbreviated that conversation to, is everything okay? You ever get a sense that maybe your spouse isn't okay, and so you ask? Let's talk about this. Can I help you? Since communication is so important, maybe we should be aware of who we talk to and who we listen to. You know, a couple pieces of advice I got were be careful what you tell others, because a listening ear might be attached to a running mouth. If you're not talking to the right person, they're going to tell everything you said to somebody else. Another piece of advice was be careful what you tell yourself, because you'll believe it. We need to think about this in our conversations. And you can't trust the message if you can't trust the messenger. We talk in our younger classes about the importance of marrying a Christian. find a Christian to marry. Why is that so important? Proverbs 31 there talks about an incredible woman. Starting in verse 10, an excellent wife, who can find her? Her worth is far above jewels. What is the first virtue mentioned? The heart of her husband trusts in her. He will have no lack of gain. It's not just that he trusts her to be faithful. It's that he trusts her in every decision that she makes. With the finances, with the kids, whatever it is, he trusts her. Now, this woman in Proverbs 31 probably sat down with her husband at some point and said, "We need to talk." And he trusted her. And if you're in a relationship, you're married one day, and I hope you are married to a Christian, and they come to you and they say, we need to talk, and I want to share with you some things that I think would make you a better husband or a better father, you won't have to have that doubt in the back of your mind about, why are they really having this conversation with me? What is it they really hope to accomplish? I know what it is. They want me to change because it's going to make their life easier. You won't have to think about that. Because you can trust in them. You know what their motives are. They want to see you get to heaven. They want to see you serve God and make Him happy. And when they see something and tell you about it, even if you don't like hearing it, you can trust in them. Do you have to marry a Christian? No, you don't have to marry a Christian. I pray that if you don't, that you'll be able to trust that person. That they will always have your best interest in mind, and especially have your spiritual best interest in mind. Because those hard conversations happen. You know, better communication is going to make all of our relationships better. That's our marriages, our families, our friendships. And as the purpose for this morning, our church family. I hope that we can all communicate. Talk about the work that needs to be done and get it done. Work together to do that. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 20. This is from the King James Version. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. I always like looking at the different translations. That's the King James. Here's the New American Standard. He who gives attention to the Word will find good. You see the difference there? How do I handle a matter wisely? By paying attention to the words. Conversation is important. And as we close this morning, salvation to everyone comes by communication, doesn't it? In the third verse of Jude there, he says, "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all time handed down to the saints." The faith has been communicated to everyone, one time for everyone. It is a message that we have to take into the world to others who are lost. And it's a message that we have faith in when we hear it. This morning as we close, is there anyone here who is not a child of God? Let me tell you what that message is about Jesus Christ. That He came to earth, lived as a man, completely sinless, but died because of sin. My sin and yours. He raised on the third day and is now sitting at the right hand of God, waiting to come back and judge the world. Do you believe that? Have you acted on it? If we can help you with that this morning, why not come? If we can help you with anything else, we also invite you to come while we stand and sing.